Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vov, until Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. We're continuing to discuss various things which someone finds. And the remaining three Mishnahs of this Masechta specifically discuss documents. If someone finds a document, what he should do with that. Usually, if you find something, there can't really be any harm in returning it to people, in returning it to its owner. However, if it's a document between two people, then giving it to one person will give him an advantage over the other person. And therefore, Motzah Shtar Chayv, someone who finds a Shtar Chayv. A Shtar Chayv is a document which says that someone borrowed money from someone. Now, one of the conditions of a standard loan is that if the borrower can't pay back the money when it comes to the deadline of the payment, then the lender is allowed to collect from the borrower's property. His land, in fact, even if the borrower has sold the land in the meantime, the lender is still allowed to collect that property and take it for himself. That is known as achrayas nechosim, which means that the property is a guarantee for the loan. Now, usually, when someone lends money to someone else, the lender writes the shtar chayv, the document which says that he's lending money to someone else, and he keeps that. Once the borrower pays him the money, he gives that shtar chayv to the borrower, and the borrower has that as proof that he's paid back the money. Now, if you find a shtar chayv, a document which says that someone lent money to someone else, you can't return that to the borrower, because maybe he hasn't paid back the money yet. And if you give that to the borrower, then he can easily just claim, oh, I've paid the money. The question is, can you return it to the lender? So the Mishnah says it depends. Im yesh bohen achrayas nechosim, if the achrayas nechosim is explicitly written in the document, again, achrayas nechosim means that the lender will be able to collect from the property of the borrower, even if the borrower sold it to someone else. If that's written in the document, then lo yachzir. You should not return the document to the lender, because shebeisin iframehen. Beisin will collect that property from the buyers. And what we're worried about is that the lender and the borrower made a deal. The borrower said, you know what, hey lender, I'm going to sell this property of mine. It's my last property, I don't have any other money. I'm going to sell this to someone else. And when it comes to the deadline, I won't have any money to pay you with. And you'll collect that field from the buyers who then gave me money. They bought the field off me, so they gave me money. And let's say I've spent it when it comes to the deadline, which will mean that you will be able to collect the field from the buyers, and then we'll split the field. We made a deal like that, basically costing the buyers. So in this case, we assume, if you think about it, who is it more likely that he lost it? The lender or the borrower? The answer is the borrower, because the lender needs it in order to get his money back. The borrower has paid him. Once the borrower has paid him, he gets the document, but it's not really useful anymore. So he's not so careful about it, and it's more likely that he lost it. So we assume that he was the one who lost it, which means that he's paid the money back. And because of this, even if the borrower claims that he hasn't paid the money back, we don't believe him, because maybe he's making this deal with the lender in order to get this field back off the buyers. And therefore, you should not give the document back to the lender, because then the lender can use it to get the field from the buyers. How will he do that? He'll go to the borrower and say, can I have my money back? My money back. The borrower will say, I don't have any. And then the lender will take the field from the people who bought the field from the borrower. And what happens if ein behen achrayas nechosim? This achrayas nechosim, the fact that the lender can collect the fields which the borrower sold, if that's not written in the document, then according to the first opinion in the Mishnah, that means that they explicitly, their deal was that there will not be achrayas nechosim attached to this loan. That's why they didn't write it. Usually they would write the achrayas nechosim in the loan. If they didn't write it, that means that they don't want it, and therefore they can't do the deal. So yachzer, he should return the document to the lender. And it's talking about a case where the borrower admits that he hasn't paid it, and therefore he should give it to the lender, and then the lender will get the money from the borrower. And in this case, we're not worried about this deal, because she'ain based in the frame here. Based in, are not going to collect the field from the buyer, because there's no achrayas nechosim attached to it. Did Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Vachachom say no. Even if it's not written in the document, it doesn't mean that there's no achrayas nechosim to the loan. They just forgot to write it. But a standard loan has that deal attached to it, and therefore, bein kach uvein kach, whether it is or not written in it, lo yachzir. He should not return it to the lender, even if the borrower admits that he hasn't paid it, and they should based in the frame here, because based in do collect the field from the buyers, and therefore we're worried about this deal. Now, if the document says explicitly that there is no achrayas nechosim for this loan, then the Chacham would agree, of course, that you should return it, because then the deal would definitely be impossible. The machlokes here is only if it's not written in it at all. Does that mean that there's no achrayas nechosim, or just that he forgot to write it? But the basic rule is that if there is achrayas nechosim attached to it, then we're worried that the borrower will make a deal with the lender in order to get the field back from the buyers, and therefore you should not return the document which you find. Mishnah Zayin. The point of this Mishnah is to show us that even though a document has been written, that does not necessarily mean that the document was used or given to the person it was written for. And therefore, Motzah Kedei Noshim, if you find a get which was written for a man to divorce his wife, or V'shusharu Avodim, a document which a owner of a slave writes to free his non-Jewish slave, De'atiki is a document written by someone on their deathbed, which is basically a will. He says how his money should be divided after he dies. Matona, or a document which says that someone promises to give a present to someone else. else, v'shevorim, or a receipt, which, similar to the previous Mishnah, if someone writes a document which says that he lent money to someone else, when the borrower pays back the money, often the lender would write a receipt, which the borrower would keep to show that he's paid the money. So in all these cases, he should not return, the person who finds the document should not return it, because like we explained, Shani Omer, because I could say, very nice they were written, but maybe he changed his mind and he decided not to give them in the end, and therefore you should not return them to the person who was going to receive them, because maybe they never got it. And also you shouldn't give it back to the person who wrote it, because maybe he did give it. It's only in a case where the person who wrote it admits and says that he did give that document, for example, he did free a slave, in that case you should give the document back to the freed slave, but otherwise you shouldn't. Mishnah Ches, the following documents are written by Beis Din. When it comes to Beis Din, they never write a document unless they give it. As soon as they write it, they give it, and therefore we're not worried that they wrote it and then changed their minds, because that is very uncommon for the Beis Din. Therefore, Motzoi Gishrim, if someone finds documents of evaluation, this means that the document says on it that someone borrowed money from someone else and didn't have enough money to pay back, and so this document says how much the borrower's field was worth, or how much his property was worth, corresponding to the amount that he borrowed. So if he borrowed, let's say, 100 zuz, then the document records 100 zuz worth of his property, and document says that that amount of his property has now been transferred to the lender. Okay, document number two, igros mazon, letters or documents of food. What's this referring to? When someone marries a woman, he writes a ksuba, which is a document which has a certain amount of conditions of marriage, including what will happen after the marriage. And one of those conditions is that if he dies first, then his wife and daughters will be supported from his money, from his inheritance. Now, if he doesn't leave any money, then the Beis Din would sell his property, and with the money they would get from the property, they would give to the widow and her children to buy food. So these are documents which record the sale of the dead husband, the dead father's property. Next, shtroi chalitza, documents which say that a chalitza occurred. When someone dies without any children, then there's a mitzvah on that man's brother to marry the dead man's wife. That's known as yibum. Now, if he doesn't want to do that, then he can go through a process known as chalitza, where they go to Beis Din, the dead man's brother and the dead man's wife, and the brother basically says, I don't want to marry her, and only once she has received chalitza and gone through this process with the brother, only then is she allowed to marry someone else. Before she's received chalitza, she can't marry anyone else. And therefore, once they did chalitza, they would give her a document to say that she's had chalitza performed on her. Umeyunin, miyun, or meyun, refers to another process. When a girl under the age of bas mitzvah, if her father marries her off, then that is considered a mid'oraisa marriage. That is a marriage valid even from the Torah. Now, if the father dies, then her mother and brothers can marry her off, but that marriage is only considered a mid'jabonon valid marriage. And because it's a sort of weaker marriage, any time before she reaches bas mitzvah, she can turn around and say, you know what, I refuse to continue this marriage, I want to cancel this marriage, and that is known as miyun. And whereas a real divorce would make her divorcee, she can't marry a kohen, she can't marry the man's relatives, etc. Miyun is different in that sense, in that it cancels the marriage from the start. It's as if they were never married. Anyway, be it as it may, she would receive a document saying that she has received miyun. And again, that would be done in Beis Din, like all these documents. Or shtroi v'yurin, documents of choosing. When two people need to go to Beis Din to judge a case between them, so there are three judges on Beis Din. And how do they choose the three judges? Maybe one wants a judge from his city or something. So the halacha is that each one of them can choose one of the judges. And the third judge is chosen by the judges which were appointed by either of them. So the shtroi v'yurin are the documents which say that this person has chosen this judge, and this person has chosen this judge, so that they can't change their mind after they have chosen and said that they are going for this judge. And finally, v'chol ma'ase Beis Din, any act or announcement or document of the Beis Din. And we're going to learn that this is referring to a document very similar to the first case of the Mishnah. It's referring to a document which evaluates how much the borrower's field or the borrower's property is worth, that he is now giving over to the lender because he didn't have enough money to pay back. But the difference between this case and the first case is that in this case, the borrower is not present. Let's say he's gone on a long holiday, he's gone abroad, so the Beis Din would still write a document for the lender, entitling him to the borrower's field or property. So in all these cases, this person should return the document to the person who the document says it was written to. So not the Beis Din, but the person, let's say the woman who received chalitza. He would return it to them, because like we said, the Beis Din, if they wrote a document, they would give it. Okay, although we mentioned in the previous two Mishnayos, there is documents which you should not return, because it involves two people, you don't know who it fell from, and they might make a deal together, like we explained. There's an exception, because Motzah b'chafisa, if someone finds those documents in a sort of flask, a sort of leather bag, but which they use to carry wine, a bit luskma, or a sort of case also made out of leather, Tachishal Storis, a few documents rolled up together, meaning one rolled around the other, Yagudishal Storis, or a few documents wrapped, they're rolled up but together, meaning not over each other, not that you roll one and then roll another one over that, but that you roll all of them together, so they're more like tightly packed together. Either way, all these things are examples of an unusual way to carry around a document, and therefore, Harizayachse, you can return and you should return the documents because you have a way of identifying whether it belongs to that person. Because if, let's say, you go to the lender and you say, I found documents which might belong to you, tell me, how did you keep them? What did you keep them in? Did you roll them up? And then you can identify whether it really does belong to him, and then you could give it to him. Now, we're going to understand the Mishnah as telling us that when you go to the lender or the borrower or whoever it refers to in the document, and you tell them, identify it for me, and then I can give it to you, that person has to identify both how it was rolled up or how it was placed, as well as the number of documents. At least in these last two cases where it's some documents rolled up, he has to identify how many documents there were. But the Mishnah asks, v'chama agudishal shtoris, how many is enough documents piled up together that if he identifies the number, it's enough? The Mishnah answers, shalosha kshurim zebozeh, it has to be at least three which are tied up together. Why is that? Because if he says, I found a document, then it's obvious that he found one, so it definitely can't be one. And if he says, oh, I found documents, well, the minimum documents in plural is two, and therefore it would be very common that it would actually be two, so that's not good enough. It's not considered something which he can't just guess, and therefore only if there's three or more documents would it be okay if he then identifies how many there were, then you could give it to him. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, Echad halev mishleisha, if in your pile of documents you see that all the borrowers in the documents, each document says that the borrower is the same, so one document says that Reuven borrowed from Shimon, the next document says Reuven borrowed from Levi, the next one says Reuven borrowed from Yehuda, let's say. So here it seems quite obvious that these all fell and were lost by Reuven, and therefore Yasal Aleve, you don't even have to check with the other side, you can immediately return it to the borrower. Now the truth is, this is not always the case. And here we come to a concept known as Kiyum Shtoris. When a document is written and witnesses sign on it, after the document's written, they would take the document to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din would confirm the document. Either they would check into the witnesses, whether they're valid witnesses, or they would just confirm it. And then they would sign on it that it's confirmed. Now, if these documents don't yet have Kiyum Shtoris on them, then it's very possible that the lenders, even though the lenders were different people, all of the lenders may have given their document to the Beis Din in order to sign and say, you know what, I'll pick it up in a couple of days. And therefore, it could be that these documents, because none of them have a Kiyum Shtoris on them, none of them have been confirmed by the Beis Din, that means they're all quite recent documents, all been given to Beis Din around the same time, and therefore it's very possible that maybe the scribe for the Beis Din dropped them, and he lost them. And therefore when the Mishnah says that you should return it to the borrower because all the documents have a common borrower, that's only if there is a Kiyum Shtoris on there already, which means that it wasn't written on the Beis Din, because once there's a Kiyum Shtoris, you would have collected it from the Beis Din already. So only in that case would you return it to the borrower. And on the other hand, Shalosh Alev Me'echad, if the documents show that three people borrowed from the same person, meaning there's a common lender, then Yachzal Amalve. Then you should return it to the lender. And in this case, you don't even need to check whether there's a Kiyum Shtoris on there, because it would always be the lender who would give the document to the Beis Din, because it was his document. That was the way he was going to get his money back. So he was the one who would give it to the Beis Din. And therefore, whatever happens, it definitely goes to the lender, not the borrower, because the borrower definitely did not give it to the scribe of the Beis Din. Says the Mishnah, what happens if someone has a pile of lots of documents? He's a busy man. Motzel Shtabin Shtoris. When he finds one document among all his documents, which says that someone borrowed money from someone else, the Inu de Mativa, and he doesn't know what's with it, meaning he doesn't know who gave it to him to look after. It may have been the lender, in which case that means that the money has not yet been paid back, because the lender still has that document. Or it could be the borrower, or maybe he paid back half of it. You don't know what the status of that document is. Says the Mishnah, because you don't know, it should be placed there until Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Meaning, you have to keep it, you can't return it to any of them. Keep it, and when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, you can ask him what the status of that is, and deal with it then. Okay, finally, the following law of the Mishnah, actually has nothing to do with what we previously said. It's a new halacha. Im yeshinu simfonos. What happens if in his pile of documents he finds a simpoin? A simpoin is a receipt, and we're referring to the lender, and he finds a receipt which says that the borrower has paid back the lender. Now, if you think about it, who should have the receipt? The borrower should have the receipt, because as soon as he gives back the money, the lender gives him the receipt for the borrower to prove that he's paid back the money. So you might think that the fact that the borrower does not have it means that the borrower has not paid it. However, the Mishnah says, yaseh ma shebas simfonos, he should do what the receipt says, meaning he has to assume that he has been paid back the money, and the only reason why he still has the receipt is not because the borrower didn't pay him back, but because he hasn't yet given him the receipt yet. For example, if the borrower was in a rush when he paid out the money, and he said, you know what, I'll come back tomorrow, I'll take the receipt tomorrow, it's fine, and then he forgot, for example. Or maybe he already received the receipt, then he gave it to him to look after. The point is that since the receipt has been written, even though the lender still has it, we assume that he has paid back the money, because otherwise the lender would not have written a receipt. Perek Beis, we now come to one of the most famous prokim in Shas, known as Elul Metzius. And this perek is about the mitzvah of Hasholas Avida, which means that if you find something which someone has lost, then you're obligated to return it to the owner. You'd announce in public that you found something, you say what it was, and if someone comes and they can identify something on there without looking at it, and you see, oh, that's right, then you give it to him because it's clear that it is his. And because of this, you're only obligated to return something if that thing has a simon on it, which means it has something on it which is a bit unusual, which the owner can use to identify it as being his, and that's how you can trust him that it's his. Now, if it doesn't have a simon, then we assume that the owner has given up hope of getting it back because he thinks, hey, this is just like any other object like this, so I'm never going to find that thing. And that's known as yiush, when the owner gives up hope of getting it back. Once he has had yiush, that item becomes hefka, ownerless, and whoever finds it can keep it. However, when you find it, you can't be sure whether the owner has had yiush yet. Why? Because maybe he doesn't even know that he's lost it yet. And that is something known as yiush shelo midas. Yiush shelo midas is when the owner doesn't yet know that he's lost it, but when he will find out, he'll give up hope because there's no simon on it. There's a famous machlekas in the Gemara about whether that is considered yiush. The conclusion is that we don't consider that yiush. And therefore, when you find it, even if the thing doesn't have a simon on it, you can't keep it. Because maybe the owner hasn't yet found out, hasn't yet realized that he's lost the thing, and therefore he hasn't yet had yiush, and therefore he still owns the item. In fact, even if you take it, and after you've taken it, he then has yiush, that's still not good enough. Because if you take it while he still owns it, you become responsible to look over it as if he gave it to you to watch over. And therefore, even if he gives up hope later on, that's not going to work because there's someone watching over it for him. And therefore, there are two conditions for you being able to keep something if you find it. Number one, it obviously can't have a simon on it. Because if it does have a simon on it, then the owner won't give up hope of getting it back because he'll realize that he has a way of getting it back because he can identify it. That's condition number one. Condition number two is that it's got to be something which the owner will realize very soon after he's lost it that he has lost it. And therefore, you can assume that he knows and he's had yiush already. So the Mishnah says, Elul Metzius Shaloi ve'elu Chayav Lahachriz. What are the things which, if one finds them, he can keep? And what are the things that he has to announce publicly and try and return to the owner? So firstly, Elul Metzius Shaloi, the following things, if he finds them, he can keep, because they have the two conditions. Number one, there's no simon on them. And number two, the owner will realize very soon after he's lost them that he has lost them, and therefore he has had yiush already. Number one, Motzah Peyos Mefuzorin, if he finds scattered produce. So the fact that it's produce, that means it's expensive and it's heavy, so if he was carrying that, and let's say it dropped out the wagon or something, he would realize straight away. And because they're scattered and they're not tied together in a special way, that means there's no simon on it. Motzah Peyos Mefuzorin, or scattered money. Again, money can't have a simon, at least not the money itself. And also he'll sense if he loses it, because you always check on your, as you put your hands in your pockets or something, and so you'll realize very soon after if you've lost the money. Kriches Bishus Rabim, or if you find small bundles in a public domain, it's a very busy area, and we're talking about bundles which don't have a simon on it, and also they roll about. And because they roll about, the location of those bundles cannot serve as a simon, because they move about. The gulei d'velo and a cake made out of pressed figs, there's no simon in that because everyone would make their pressed fig cakes in the same way, and they're relatively heavy, so you'll sense if you drop them or if you lose them. Kikorishal nachtoim, loaves baked by a baker, all the bakers would bake their loaves in the same manner, and therefore there's no simon. And also because they are quite heavy, you'll realize if you drop them. Machruzah shal dogim, strings of fish, vachasir shal basar, and pieces of meat. Again, all the butchers and the people who caught fish would make it in the same way, and therefore there's no simon. And also there, because it's part of this category of food, we consider it as being quite heavy, and therefore you'll sense if you drop it. The gizei tzimah basmim dinoson, and sheep shearings which come from their country. That means that they are in the same state as they were when they were sheared. They haven't been made into proper wool yet, so therefore there's no simon. But I need to say fishdon and bundles of flax or shun shalagomon and tongues of purple wool, meaning like long pieces of purple wool. Harel shaloi, all of these things, if you find them, you can keep them, because again, they've got the two conditions. They haven't got a simon, and people notice if they drop or lose them, and therefore they have yiush straight away. This is the opinion of Rabbi Huda says, Kol sheyesh b'shinui, anything which has a slight difference to it, even if it's one of the things we mentioned just now, which don't have a simon usually, if there's a slight difference then on chayav l'hachriz, then you do need to announce it, because that is considered a valid simon. Now this is talking about a case, even if it's quite clear that the owner didn't make that difference in the thing to be used as a simon. It just happens to be there's a difference to that thing. For example, Ketzad, how so? Monsel Igel, if you find a pressed figs cake, and inside the cake there's a piece of earthenware, so it probably just fell in, but the owner will probably be aware of that and he can therefore use that to identify it. Or kekar of soichei mois, if you find a loaf and there's money inside it, again that's a difference and therefore it can be used as a simon. Finally, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, kol klei anpurio, any new vessel, anpurio is an abbreviation for ein peiruia, which means there's no seeing, the owner isn't used to this item, he can't recognize it properly because it's new. And we're talking about an item where even a certain great people can recognize it even after a short while of owning it. even then, in a chayil hachris, you do not need to announce it, because most people will not be able to recognize this, and therefore there's no real simon on it, so you may keep it like the other things we mentioned in our Mishnah.